This is the lecture for December 1997. The title of the lecture is The Psalms in Prophecy. This is lecture number 2. This is the second lecture of a 4-part series devoted to analyzing the prophetic significance of the 150 Psalms of the Holy Scriptures. These Psalms were placed within 5 divisions. These are normally indicated in most Bibles. Even the King James Version, in its margins, will show the original Hebrew orientation of the 5 divisions of the Book of Psalms. The first division of the Psalms represents Psalm 1 to 41. Let me give you the other divisions at this moment. The second division is Psalm 42 to 72, inclusively. The third division is Psalm 73 to 89. The fourth division is Psalm 90 to 106, and the fifth and the last division is Psalm 107 to 150. These 5 divisions of the Psalms are placed in this order for a purpose. They were placed there by Ezra the priest in the 5th century before the birth of Christ. They were placed in this order to give a scenario, prophetic teachings to the people of Israel who would assemble at the temple in Jerusalem. These psalms were to be sung. They were to be sung with accompaniment of music, musical instruments. They were both in the minor and in the major keys. Some of them were psalms of joy. Others were to be psalms of reflection. Others were to be psalms of praise. Some were to be psalms of punishment, or shall we say, reflection upon repentance and upon sins and things of that nature. They were placed in order for a particular reason. These psalms were to be read by the priests, principally the Levites, who in the temple would sing these psalms at particular intervals. The first 2 divisions of the Psalms, Psalm 1 to Psalm 72, represents 72 Psalms altogether. You will recognize that 72 is 3 times 24. The priestly divisions of the Old Testament were divided into 24 courses. Now, 24 courses of the priests, yes, and also 24 courses of the Levites, 24 courses of the singers. And the singers were those who would prophesy by psalms. These psalms were to be sung in the temple. They weren't sung in synagogues. They weren't sung in homes. Now, they could be, but that was not the official purpose for them. They were to be sung in the temple at Jerusalem. And they were to be sung in a particular order to emphasize prophetic themes that Ezra himself, who was the canonizer of the Old Testament, was the one who designed them so that they would emphasize what the prophetic message of the Bible was all about. Now, when I talk about the prophetic message, I'm not excluding the salvation message. I'm not excluding the social message. I'm not excluding any of the religious messages of the Scripture. But the prophetic message, you see, is that which deals with Israel as a nation. Israel as a nation in its relationship to other nations of the world. And as the other nations of the world would reflect upon Israel, then they could, as a priestly nation, Israel, would be the nation to manifest God to the rest of the world. And the central edifice around which Israel and their worship centralized was the temple at Jerusalem. And when the temple was finally reestablished by Ezra and Nehemiah, and earlier on by Zerubbabel and all of that, they needed to have a type of a literature in order to teach Israel at specific times of the year prophetic themes in which they would then understand what the teaching of the Bible, what the teaching of Yahweh, who was the God of Israel, was all about. And that's the reason for placing these psalms in a particular order. They are not haphazardly placed in the Bible. As I explained in tape number 1, you will find some of the psalms are actually repeated. Certain sections are actually repeated from one division to another within the 5 divisions. Now, this is important because it just shows that there are recurrent themes which come and go, in which God wants Israel to understand how he deals with them as a people. And if we, who are Gentiles, want to understand how God deals with the world, he does it almost exclusively through the nation of Israel. Israel was a priestly nation. It was a nation that was there to be a type of mediatorial emphasis to the rest of the world on how God was dealing with humanity here. Now, we are all children of God, whether we're Israelite or Gentiles. We must understand that. But at the same time, God does call particular individuals, and sometimes he calls nations, to be able to perform particular feats for him in order to teach his message of salvation and what we are here on earth to perform, where what we are to do, and particularly what we are to become and what we are here for. And all of those things can be justifiably given in a rational way so that people will understand all the teachings of God. Now, these Psalms, 150 of them, are in five divisions, as I mentioned. The number five is very significant in the Scriptures. Have you noticed that the law of God, called the Torah in the Hebrew, represents five books? Have you also noticed that in the New Testament that you have the four Gospels plus the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, and you put that with the four Gospels and you have five books which represent the New Testament law? And even the Ten Commandments, they are in five and five, not six and four or four and six, but five and five. This five divisions happens to be very important in the Old Testament. You will find that there is, in the original order of the Old Testament books, which are 22 in number in the original numeration, each book agreeing with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you will find that there are five books within the interior of that section called the Megillot, the book of Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and also Esther. Five books which represent five divisions that were to be sung or to be understood within the temple, in the women's division of the temple there in Jerusalem. Those five agree with the five divisions of the Psalms, which agree also with the five books of the Torah. What we find when we analyze all of these things together is that God is the God of harmony. He is a God of consistency. He is a God of design. What he does by the giving us of the Holy Scriptures in the order that he does, both the Old Testament and the New. And by the way, when you put the 27 books with the 20 of the New Testament with the 22 books of the Old Testament, you get 49 books altogether. That's 7 times 7. That is a number that shows completion of completion. God, by giving us the Old Testament and by giving us the New Testament and combining them together within a temple theme, within a theme of Jerusalem as being the capital of the world, is there to illustrate teachings that he wants us to understand. And the more that we realize these things, the more that we can comprehend what God is teaching to humanity. Now, he does that primarily through Israel. And even the New Testament apostles, most of them were Israelites, weren't they? In fact, they all were when you get down to it. And they were the ones who gave us the New Testament. And the Old Testament was just a reflection of what God was giving not only to Israel, but to the rest of the world through Israel. And the book of Psalms happens to be musical operettas, so to speak, operas in which themes were sung in the temple at particular times so that people would be able to understand what those time periods were all about. They were centered primarily around the holy days of Israel, starting in the springtime with Passover season, then in the early late springtime with Pentecost, the first fruit season. And then there was a festival, or rather it was a period of ceremony, a ceremonial importance, not that it was a festival, but it was the 10th and the 9th of Ab, the fifth month, in which the temple was destroyed. And that was a reflection upon how God deals in judgment upon Israel from time to time. It's interesting that the temple at Jerusalem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century B.C. was destroyed on the 10th of Ab. But you know something? That's the fifth month, the tenth of the fifth month of the Hebrew calendar, which occurs about in our August of our calendar. But do you realize that on that very same day, that exact same day, the temple, 600 years later, was destroyed in the time when Titus, the Roman general, and later to be the Roman emperor, his troops set fire to the temple by accident, and it burnt down on the 10th of Ab. That day is commemorated even today by the Jews. They call it the Day of the Great Fast. Now, it's not the Day of Atonement, but the day of a fasting period. After that, we have the Tabernacles period, which starts with the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And then finally, in the Jewish calendar, there is Purim, which is the last part of winter, and that occurs in the month just prior to Passover of the following year. Now, Purim is mentioned in the book of Esther, so it is a biblical festival. Now, we find that the five books of these Psalms here are centered around those festival periods of Israel. And the five books of the Torah, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that's the law. That's the first five books of the Bible. They are also centered around a festival theme of ancient Israel. And these books I mentioned to you before, called the Megillot, the festival books, which were sung or they were rehearsed in the women's portion of the temple, starting with the Song of Songs that was read at Passover. We find the Book of Ruth, which was read at Pentecost. And the whole theme of Ruth is about gleaning in the fields and the first fruits harvest. And then we find the Book of Lamentations about the destruction of Jerusalem. That was always read according to Jeremiah, and he was the one who ordained it by the Spirit of God, that was to be sung and rehearsed on the 10th of Ab, on the fifth month, which was in autumn time. Or I should say in the August time is what I meant to say. And then you go on, and the Book of Ecclesiastes was to be read at Tabernacles, and the Book of Esther was to be read at the Purim area of time. So what we find is that these Bibles, I mean these books in the Bible, are just not placed there haphazardly. They have a design about them. And the Book of Psalms, which we're talking about now, is no exception. It is one which is designed to center around specific themes in the Scripture, specific chronological time periods in which the festivals of Israel are primarily enhanced. And indeed, what you might say is the message is in the Psalms, or how Ezra gathered together these Psalms, the ones he finally did in the final completion of the Bible in the 5th century B.C., when he put together the 150 Psalms, he placed all of them into a particular order so that they would present a theme, a prophetic theme, a theme of understanding, a theme of historical teaching and religious teaching, teaching on the salvation plan of God, for mankind to realize what God was doing through Israel and through the temple there at Jerusalem. All of these things have a coherence to them, which really, when you put them together, they are remarkable indeed. It shows that God is a God of harmony. God is a God of consistency. God is a God of design. And just as you and I are well aware that when we look into the physical attributes of the scientific community is able to give to us, we see great and wonderful designs that God has given to each of us. Are we to expect that the Bible would be any different? Of course not. We find that the Bible is intricately designed to be able to give us teaching. And if we put it into the proper order, you're going to find teaching that you have never understood before. And it's going to be teaching that is beautiful and it's wonderful. It will be able to help us to understand what the plan of God is all about. Now, the original Bible project is to put this Bible back into the original order that it was from the very beginning, at the time that Ezra put the Old Testament together and the time that John, the Apostle John, put the New Testament together. When we get those books back in order the way that they are originally designed and read them in that context, you are going to see things that you have never seen before. Now, the Book of Psalms is our theme today. And that Psalms is in a particular order. There are five divisions to that psalm, to the book of Psalms, and I have given them to you. Let me now mention the first division. The first division is from Psalm 1 to 41. Now, if you will look at Psalm 1 as an introduction to that division, and that is quite normal in the Bible that you have introductions. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, by the way, is an introduction to the whole Gospel. And you look at the book of Psalms, it's no exception. You take the first psalm, really, is an introduction to the first division of the Psalms. So when you look at the first 41 Psalms, and you look at the first psalm as an introduction, then you are left with the first division being 40 Psalms. Now, 40 is a very important number in the Bible. Remember how that there were 40 years in the wilderness? Remember how Jesus himself fasted for 40 days? You can go on and on with the number of 40. I have mentioned this many times in the literature that I have written. But all you have to do is to take a concordance and look in your scripture under the word 40, and you will find so many symbolic significances connected with this number 40. 40 is a number of trial. 40 is a number of experience. Like the wilderness journeys of Israel, their punishment was over after 40. You will find that this first division of Psalms has to do with judgment. It has to do with trial. It has to do with experience of human life. And the 21st Psalm, 22nd Psalm, by the way, is that very Psalm in which Jesus himself, when he was on the tree of crucifixion, cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's a psalm of judgment, a psalm of punishment, a psalm in which God is there. And by the way, the 23rd is the next psalm, which is a psalm of salvation, how that God will come in the times of greatest trial, in the time of greatest difficulties that we might have. And he is always there, right at our side, to be able to show us that we are his children and that the things that we go through are for a purpose. That's what we have to realize. So the first division, really, is, though it's 41 psalms, the first psalm is an introduction, and it's followed by 40 psalms. The Psalms 40 actually means a period of trial, and it was analogous to the Passover period of Israel, the Passover period. The second division of the Psalms goes from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. That represents 31 Psalms. But just as in the first division, we have the first Psalm being an introduction, so we have in the second division the same thing. You will find that Psalm 42 is an introduction to the second book of the Psalms. That means that there are actually 30 Psalms then. To the second book, equaling 72 psalms altogether. Now, for you who heard my first lecture, I commented on the fact that after the 72nd psalm, which is the end of the second division of the book of Psalms, we have a most unique, interesting statement here. It says in verse 20 of Psalm 72, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, that's interesting. Psalm 72. Isn't it interesting, though, that when you continue to read through the book of Psalms and the other three divisions, you find the Psalms of David coming up quite frequently? What it means is these two divisions were two divisions that David himself selected to go into the temple services to be read at specific times when Solomon himself would finally build the temple in Jerusalem. These 72 psalms, 40 and 30, plus two introductions, equal the life of man. 40 and 30 equals 70. You know how long David lived? Exactly 70 years of age. Isn't it interesting that we find here David giving us 70, or really with the two introductions, psalms to help us to understand what human life is all about. We find in these psalms here, psalms of praise, psalms of joy. We also find psalms of punishment and psalms of sadness. We find psalms, though, of victory. And the last psalm, Psalm 72 is one of absolute victory in the extreme. You ought to read it. It's a psalm about how Solomon would come along, or shall we say, the great Messiah of the future, and redeem the entire world to himself. When you look at these first 72 psalms, now they're 40 and 30, plus two introductions, you will find 72, they were to be sung by the 24 courses of the Levites, who were the singers in the temple at Jerusalem. 24 goes into 72 three times. What it means is that they were to sing these songs once a week, all the way through, and it would go for a 1.5 year period, then for another 1.5 year period, which would make 3 years altogether, then for another 1.5 year period, and then another 1.5 year period, which would make another 3 years. And then the seventh year, they would do it altogether differently, because the seventh year was a sabbatical year. You'll recall that in the scripture. A sabbatical year is when they would do all the psalms together at one time. And then they would start over in their order in singing in the temple, and everyone would know what psalm was to be read at any particular time. Now, in association with the various festivals, at the time period the psalm was being sung, it helps to emphasize the meaning of the theme of the festival. If it's the Passover theme, which means coming out of slavery and the beginning of the Old Testament church, or as we would say, the ecclesia of the Old Testament, that first section there has to deal with new beginnings. And then if you come to the second section, it has to do with what we call the spiritual part of the church, the Pentecost, in which Pentecost then means a special group of people, a first fruits group of people who have been selected by God out of the common, ordinary people to be able to have a special role that God is giving to them. And that is where the New Testament ecclesia comes into the count. Because you remember, isn't it interesting that the New Testament ecclesia, called the church in the Bible, began on Pentecost Day after the crucifixion of Christ? This whole second division of the Psalms has to do with the start of a New Testament, or even an Old Testament, yes, but a New Testament beginning of people's lives and their spiritual teaching going to them. All of these things have spiritual significance to them. They are not haphazardly placed here. They are there for us to understand. One of these days, I'm going to write a book on these Psalms. I'm going to have a chart. We'll show the whole thing right there in outline so that you will be able to see, and you can do it yourself right now, and to see the themes that are developed in these various divisions of the Psalms and how they fit in with the periods of time in which God was dealing with Israel from a spiritual point of view, particularly in the temple at Jerusalem. And you're going to see these things as never before. The third division of the Psalms really begins in Psalm 73 and goes to Psalm 89. And if you look at that section, it has to do with a period of destruction. All of those psalms are destruction psalms. They agree not with Pentecost, which was the second division, but with the third division here, it has to do with the 10th of Ab, the very day on which both temples were destroyed within a 600-year gap of one another, one in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, one in the time of Titus, of Rome. Both destroyed exactly on the 10th of Ab. And that day, Jeremiah said, there's going to be a psalm, or there's going to be a book read on that day, every day in ancient Israel, and they're still reading it to this very day. That book is the Book of Lamentations, which speaks about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the utter demolition of the temple, the dismantlement of the temple, and of the Mosaic services. And isn't it interesting that on that very day, the 10th of Ab of the fifth month of the Hebrew calendar, which is in the high summer of our time, in August, every year on the 10th day of that month, they were also to read the Book of Lamentations. But you know what else they would read? they would read the whole third division of the Psalms. And you read those third divisions, and I'm going to show it to you in a little bit here. You're going to see nothing but destruction, about destruction, 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 destruction. Those Psalms are placed in there to be read at a particular time period in the festival season of Israel, to emphasize to Israel that God is the one in charge of things on this earth, and that it was no accident that the temples were destroyed on the 10th of Ab. In fact, that 10th of Ab in the history of the Jews has been a day of infamy. It is most interesting. Not only has it been a day of infamy, but it's been a day of new beginnings in one way. Do you know when Columbus set out for the new world that no one knew anything about before in that period of time, in his very log that he had in his ship, he was speaking about the last of the Jews that were in the ships in the harbor that he had to navigate around that were leaving the Iberian Peninsula, that is Spain and Portugal. They had been there since the time of Solomon, but they were expelled on that very day. And you know what the day was? It was the 10th of Ab, the very day. Most interesting. But it's also interesting that on that ship, on the three ships of Columbus, were some Jews. And you know, about 50 to 60 days later, the first one to spot land was a Jew. And they found the new world. Most interesting, isn't it? These things are important for us to understand. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture. This is the end of the A side.